and welcome to BioBalance Health Podcast. I'm Dr. Kathy Maupin, founder and medical director of BioBalance Health. Today, Brett Newcomb and I will discuss bioidentical hormones and all the differences between them and why I prefer BioBalance pellets. Brett?
Well, you know, we were going to talk about all that, and I'm sitting here thinking about how do I understand it, because I'm a visual thinker. And it's sort of like the difference between inductive and deductive reasoning styles. As I understand it, traditional medical protocol has been, I get sick, I go to a doctor, they identify my symptoms, and then they try to backtrack to what went wrong and patch it or fix it. Mm-hmm. And where medicine seems to be going today, in my conversations with you, at least the medicine that you practice, seems to be moving more towards a holistic or preventative understanding of illness, and particularly referencing your specialty, which is the aging process. And so one of the things that you're trying to do is to look at how do we avoid symptom chasing, and how do we set up protocols that look at the whole of the person and do the best job that we can do to keep them as recognizably and healthily them, as opposed to deteriorating shadows of themselves. Mm-hmm. And so in our conversations about that, what you've talked about is a cascade of events of deterioration that seems to begin with changes in sex hormones. And so you had mentioned to me four or five sort of cascading event sequences that begin with that. And before we talk about delivery mechanisms for hormone replacements, maybe we'll spend a little bit of time talking about why that is a treatment that you use and why it's a goal that you have. So could you, for my sake, speak to those cascading events?
Okay, the aging process starts in everyone at a different time, depending on your life and your genetics. But in general, the average time is after 40. Sometime after 40, and that is when the sex hormones decrease. Mm-hmm. That testosterone goes first in women, and then their estrogen, and then in men, testosterone's their main hormone. So that's the hormone that starts decreasing at 40.
And you said something about falling below 400. What does that mean?
For men, the magic number is 400. 400 total testosterone is when you get symptomatic, when men get symptomatic and they don't feel well and they gain belly fat and they lose their sexual prowess.
Do I get moody and pathetic?
Yeah, get kind of moody, kind of girl-like.
Yeah,
you know,
sensitive.
But it's not just the total testosterone for you all. It's a free testosterone, meaning free means not that it doesn't cost anything, but that it is free of binding. It's not bound to a protein. The way we store testosterone in the body is to have it bound to a protein, which inactivates the testosterone. The way we use the testosterone.
So is it like the icing on the protein cake?
What does that mean?
It's bound to the protein.
Yes, and it sits there. Oh, yeah. It sits there and it blocks.
But it's the good part.
Well, yeah. Protein, I don't know exactly how to view that, but the protein is something that blocks binding or blocks the testosterone from attaching to receptor sites.
Yes.
So it's your storage. Then when the protein is released from the testosterone, that's free testosterone. Then it's open to work. Mm-hmm. So we look at free testosterone even more as a more crucial element, and that should be over 129. That's our magic number for when most people are
functional. And so you can do a blood test and get a result back that tells you what the basic testosterone count is and what percentage of those are what you're calling free testosterones.
Yes.
And so when you evaluate a patient, you are looking at, or male patient, you are looking at what those ratios are in terms of their general well-being, positive energy, sense of self, those kinds of things. And mm-hmm. and you have data points that actually are usable and predictable.
Yes, I do.
So then treatment would involve finding a delivery system that would restore those data points to not some idealized standard, but to whatever level is required for that individual person to feel rejuvenated as themselves. That's the goal?
That's the goal. And one of the problems with that goal is that we don't have a total and a free testosterone from when they were 30 or 29, when they felt
very good. So it's going to have to be experiential. They're going to have to feel it and be able to articulate to you, okay, wow, I had this surge, but it didn't last, mm-hmm. or I'm feeling consistently better and more hopeful and more energized and so on.
It's the art and the science of it. The science is I need to get men over 400 and over 129, but some men used to be at 800 and at 250.
Yeah. And that wouldn't be good for everybody.
Right.
It's more what was, you want to try to replicate what was my system.
And the way I do that is by talking to my male patients and asking them, mm-hmm. did they have a very, compared to other, their buddies, did they have a high sex drive? Did they have a frequency of intercourse when they were in their, you know, when they were first married? What was that like? And then I'm trying to...
I get that question all the time in couples that come to see me. What's normal? Is once a week normal? Is five times a day normal? Is 50 times, you know, a month normal? What's normal?
I'm not sure that there is a normal on that.
And they get really frustrated with me when I say that answer. You know, what's normal for you in terms of your desire curve and what your history has been, and in terms of what's palatable in your relationship for your partner, because it's overlapping compromises. You know, what mm-hmm. and almost always there's an imbalance in couples. And so mm-hmm. couples find tolerance zones that make for harmony in the relationship.
I should ask, how many times did you want to have sex? Mm-hmm. You know, not how mm-hmm. many times did you?
Yeah, were you successful?
Yeah, were you successful?
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm looking for that, and also exercise levels and how often someone exercises, because that tells me something about their general need for testosterone. But that's in the men. I also look at their lab, so that when I look at their pre-lab, I treat them. I'm trying to get these goals with the testosterone. Mm-hmm. I also do post-lab to see if their cholesterol got better, because generally when their testosterone is low, their cholesterol is high. Mm-hmm. So we generally look at how that has improved. I look at how their white cell counts improve, because with a low testosterone, we have poor immunity. So their white cell count drops. I look at it, and it usually comes back to normal when they have enough testosterone. So I'm looking for a normalization of every other.
What about the lipids?
And that's the cholesterol.
Okay.
That's the cholesterol. And not triglycerides. That has to do with their diet. If they have a diet high in alcohol or carbohydrate, then triglycerides could be high even without testosterone.
So it may not be as effective in counteracting adult onset diabetes?
It is somewhat. Some of the studies that have come out in the last year, mm-hmm. it does improve insulin resistance, but it doesn't improve your diet, and it doesn't improve.
So if I'm slamming down alcohol, it's high in sugar content.
I can't help that.
This is not going
to. Yeah, that's
be
not
the
my
answer.
Job to follow you around and tell you not to drink.
Right.
But
right.
It's your job. It's your responsibility. It's my patient's responsibility to do their part, and that is when I show them.
So the post lab results will give you data points that measure all of those factors, which then goes to the holistic concept of sort of global improvement in quality of life and quality of health.
Right. And I
so
also
not
ask
just
them,
about sex.
It's not just about sex. It's about sex. It's about, are they thinking clearer? Mm-hmm. Men tend to get anxiety attacks, believe it or not.
I was afraid you'd say that.
Anxiety attacks when their testosterone drops. That gives them almost like what we would get a hot flash, they get like an anxiety attack when they get those floods of from their pituitary gland that's trying to push them to make more testosterone. So when we give them enough testosterone, when I give them enough testosterone.
So it's like a warning alarm is going off. The pituitary is sending it out, mm-hmm. adrenaline, whatever.
We need more testosterone.
And we get the anxiety because it's not finding the free testosterone that it uses in the appropriate way.
There's a feedback system between the testicle and the pituitary that shuts it down.
So do women have similar? I mean, do you get the same kind of data points when you do blood tests on women?
Yes.
I mean, you're not measuring. Well, you are measuring some testosterone, mm-hmm. but you
I'm
also are looking
testosterone
at
testosterone and estrogen.
Estrogen, and what about
and progesterone? Something that I don't usually measure. If someone has PMS, I treat them with natural progesterone. But if they're menopausal and they don't have a uterus, I don't need to use progesterone. It doesn't really contribute in my patients to their well-being. With pellets, excuse me, their outcomes are so good that I don't generally have to use progesterone unless a patient has a uterus. And I'm just protecting that uterus from bleeding with progesterone. But women lose their testosterone first. So I kind of like to have this conversation with them. I say, well, you lose your testosterone usually 40 to 45. Usually it hits critical somewhere.
So what does that look like in terms of symptoms of change? A woman who has lost her naturally generated testosterone, how would she experience herself? Would there be no desire for sex? Would there be moodiness? Would there be high cholesterol? I mean, what would you look for?
You hit most of them. Usually it's moody and lack of desire, but lack of also of fantasies, lack, you know, everything, orgasms get much less intense or they disappear. Generally, there's just not this sexual feeling. They don't feel like they're sexual at all anymore.
So the predisposition to arousal or arousability declines, and that makes it harder to get aroused. It makes it harder to be responsive because lights are on, but nobody's home.
Right. The neurotransmitters for that area of the brain just aren't there because most of sexual desire and sexual response are in
and
your
is
brain.
That is that, from what women tell you, is that a sudden change that they notice, or is that one of those gradual declines where it fades away and they would say that's a normal part of the aging process? I'm going through menopause and I'm getting older. Oh, well.
It's so slow that you almost don't. I mean, I had that even before my ovaries were out. So I just didn't even notice. I just couldn't tell. I didn't know exactly why. I didn't really care if my husband was home or not. I'm like, what's he still doing here?
Yeah.
Really. And I have a lot of people say that. They're like, I can do this by myself. And they feel like they don't need their spouse because of this hormone being low. It's really funny.
So it's sort of an adaptive acceptance of their reality, but without an awareness that that happened because of a change or a loss that could be remediated.
Right. They just think they got old. But they don't know that it can be fixed, and most doctors don't encourage them to have that fixed. It's funny. Mm-hmm. They would encourage a man to take Cialis, but they wouldn't encourage a woman to get her sex drive back for some reason. But it's a slow change, and that's where I say that's kind of like that change God gave us so that we say no to sex after 40 because we're not very fertile and our eggs are old and we might have abnormal babies and we're not going to live long enough with that 50-year lifespan that we had. I mean, that was a long life up until the last 200 years. So you shouldn't have babies if you're not going to be able to take care of them. So God's protecting us from having babies because we just don't have a sex drive. So it also releases the male to go find another female.
I love that you give that description because that is such a rational explanation that's assigned to interpret a sequence of physical events. And I always say that man is not a rational animal. He's a rationalizing animal.
Well, that's,
maybe
I'm rationalizing, but that's what it seems like.
Well,
to
I think
me
that's
that
what
happens.
People do, and I think that that's the description you've given is the one that I hear in therapy as well. And what you and the holistic anti-aging medical community are beginning to suggest is that you now have data and a measurable way to say physiology has changed, and it can be repaired so that this doesn't have to be the natural sequence of events, and we don't have to settle for this. We don't have to come up with rationalizations that help us accept change in reality. We can fight back, and we can fight back by getting bioidentical hormone replacement treatments that have an effective delivery system. And then that brings us to what are the delivery systems and why are some effective and some are not? Or what is the effectiveness of one against the other? So can you speak to the delivery systems and their effectiveness?
Yes, but I want to finish the story.
Okay. Sorry.
Because, no, that's the first step. So 50% of the you know, let's go back to the tents, you know, mm-hmm. we're back in, mm-hmm. you know, the center of the population was in the Middle East. And, mm-hmm. and you, I mean, most men would be gone if there was no sex drive, they were turned down enough. And so they leave the tent. And then the next step is no progesterone. So progesterone makes us have PMS. So not only do we not have a sex drive, we then just are crabby. I'd use a different term in private, yeah. crabby all the time. So then almost the rest of the men leave, and only those hangers on that are just going to stick with it are going to just still be there mm-hmm. when we hit menopause, which is even worse. You know, we just kind of get exhausted and don't feel like doing anything. So that whole progress shows kind of progression of how we go through the 40s and into the 50s is how I maybe rationalize, or my rational thought of why all of people get divorced. I mean, everybody's getting divorced in their 40s. It just seems like that midlife crisis happens. But men are also then beginning at late 40s to lose their testosterone. So then we get into a whole nother stage. But going back to why I use bioidentical hormones is, first of all, way back when, I practiced OBGYN for over 25 years in private practice, and most hormone replacements that were oral just plain didn't work. Mm-hmm. Even when we didn't have anything else, most women would take Premarin or whatever we had then, Estrace, but it just didn't work. They didn't feel better because they didn't get testosterone.
So, and that's because the oral delivery mechanism, the hormone had to be bound to some base that could deliver. It's kind of like most aspirin is sugar as a way to deliver it.
Well, it was more that when it goes, there's a first pass effect. Anything oral, any hormone that's oral, goes through your stomach, mm-hmm. goes into your liver before it goes to the rest of your body.
So it has to get through all the stomach acids.
Right. It's made to do that, but then when it gets to the liver, it's broken down into things that aren't just estrogen. Mm-hmm. So it's broken down into things you don't want, like estrone, which is old lady estrogen, which gives us belly fat and long boobs, not, you know, mm-hmm. not pretty breasts, but old. Yeah. And so it also makes our mind kind of foggy. We still get some estradiol, which does help our brain, so that offsets one another. So just by going through the liver and being changed into these other things, we have tons of side effects and we get a little bit of benefit, but it doesn't bring us back to who we were, and we don't get testosterone.
So the oral delivery causes it not to stay together in its optimal form to get maximum benefit.
Right.
It causes it to break down into all of its various subsets, some of which are negative.
Yes.
And then we get the benefit of all of that. So we get pluses and minuses.
Right.
So other than oral, what are delivery mechanisms?
Then we developed vaginal creams, which just helped the vagina. It didn't really get absorbed into the body. Mm-hmm. That was the next advancement. Then we developed...
So is that more of a lubrication?
Yeah, that's more of a lubrication issue, but it doesn't get absorbed into the rest of the body.
Okay.
Then when bioidenticals came on the scene, we were just about getting to normal patches, which have an estradiol in them, but is not truly bioidentical. But we also were getting creams. We were getting pure estradiol creams. And those would go on your arm, or they could go...
So that's a transdermal delivery.
Yeah, transdermal delivery. Patches or creams are transdermal delivery systems.
And the positives and negatives for those?
Well, they're better than the oral. They don't mm-hmm. get changed into so many different substances that are negative. They get changed into estrone a lot more readily than... the pellets. So that's
better, more complete absorption without the adverse breakdowns.
But it has some. Right.
And then is there something better than that?
And you also have to use it often. Not the patches, but the creams. You have to put it on all the time. So if you forget, then you...
More than once daily. So you got to remember to do that.
You got to be in a place where you can do it.
I mean, if you're a working woman and you're at work.
Yeah.
You know. So... Then is there another option, he asked knowingly.
Well, the other bioidenticals are sublingual. You can use sublingual tablets that have estrogen or progesterone in them, but testosterone is not absorbed sublingually. It's just my blood tests show that it doesn't just doesn't go through the mucosa of the mouth. So,
sublingual, you put it under your tongue.
Put it under your tongue.
All right.
And that has to be dosed once or twice a day. And it goes, and don't even, anyway. So that's one of those things where you have, it does get changed somewhat. It's not pure estrogen or pure progesterone mm-hmm. when it hits your bloodstream, but it's better than the transdermals.
So all of the three that you're talking about so far are sort of sub-processed or modified as an artifact of absorption into the body.
Right.
And then the fourth method, the one you haven't gotten to.
The fourth method is the hormone pellets that are placed under the skin, subdermal placement. And that's what I do because it's the best way to receive hormones.
So they don't have the absorption process deterioration.
That's true.
It goes, or modification that the other systems have.
It is immediately absorbed into the bloodstream, front the bloodstream in the fat.
Uh-huh.
The blood system picks it up as you need it, and it goes directly into the blood and then to the target tissues. It crosses the blood-brain barrier very easily, which some of the others don't.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps migraines, and it makes your sex drive come back if you're using testosterone, and it makes your feminine figure come back without making estrone, the old lady estrogen. So it doesn't have that conversion that the others have, and it also is absorbed more purely.
What about an intramuscular injection of a liquid testosterone?
None of those are pure testosterone. They're testosterone cyprionate or
so it's
other,
bound to other ingredients.
Other ingredients, and so
it still has the same absorption issues and breakdown.
It goes into
issues.
The muscle, and that's why they have to put something else with it so mm-hmm. that it delays the absorption from the muscle.
Okay.
And it is not pure testosterone. We get a lot of people coming to us from places where they were given shots, and women have full beards.
And there are side effect issues
yeah.
then from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they make a ton of DHT Good. Out of it. And that's what makes the
that's
beer.
That's the dihydrous.
And there's balding that comes from DHT. And so there's a lot of that from the IM that we don't have.
Okay. So looking at delivery systems, you have found one that you are medically comfortable using because it has minimal side effects. It has maximum absorption in a consistent on-demand delivery system that replicates the natural system that has begun to break down through the aging process.
That's just exactly what I was trying to say.
Wow. Glad I was able
you
to help.
You got it.
So if anybody out there has questions that are better questions than I'm asking or that go in a different direction, if we're not covering the ground that you need us to cover so that your questions and concerns are addressed, whether it's relational issues, whether it's the chemistry of the hormone change, whether it's the ancillary anti-aging medical approaches that are available at BioBalance Medicine. And you need to speak to what some of those are as part of the package of what's available mm-hmm. through your office. If you have questions about those things, be sure to give us a call or email us, and Kathy will tell you how to do that.
We also balance other hormones, so it's not just estrogen and testosterone. We balance thyroid and adrenal, and we attend to pituitary problems. So most of these other things you would have to see another doctor for. If you were seeing someone who was just replacing your estrogen, then we do that ourselves. But if you have any questions or comments about our show or about bioidentical hormone pellets, please email them to podcast@biobalancehealth.com. We also invite you to visit our website, biobalancehealth.com, and learn about all of our services, including supplements, skin rejuvenation, and our complete line of botanical skincare products. You can call my office at 314-993-0963. You can also read my blog, drkathymaupin.com. I'm also writing a book, and part of that will be in the blog. You will find connections to Facebook and Twitter in the blog, so go for it.
So you can follow along in any of the electronic formats that are out there.
That's right. That's right. All right. So thank you for listening. For Brett Newcomb, I'm Dr. Kathy Maupin.